Thank you, Jesus. You know, church, there's such a beautiful anointing in here tonight. And I'm just feeling in my heart like tonight's just a ministry night. But I have something I want to share with you. Something from the Word that I want to share with you tonight. And then I want to minister to you and pray for you and pray for the sick and let y'all pray for one another. So I want you just to be seated for just a minute. Because I know that the Word's going to ignite your faith. And if you get your faith ignited, then you're going to get what you need from the Lord. Amen. So I want to show you something in the Word of what I believe the Lord's saying to us tonight. So go in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. You guys, I'll have y'all come back up here in just a minute. You know, the other day I was reading an article about, Miss Jen, is that really you back there? Oh my gosh, I thought I was seeing the Macedonian woman. I thought you were just a vision. Glad to see your face. I was reading this article the other day about, and this may all be just malarkey, okay, but I just thought the concept was interesting, and it was from a medical scientist, people, whatever, that were saying that in 10 years that they were going to, they thought they had the technology to implant a chip in, and I don't remember where they were implanting the chip, whether it was in your brain or in your body somewhere, that they had discovered a place in the brain that they could send an electrical impulse to it and that it would stimulate the body to heal itself. Okay, I don't know if this makes any sense, Dr. Brown, but anyway. And it made me start to just think. You know, when I read stuff, I just read it for whatever, and I'm just praying and asking the Holy Ghost about it. And so I began to just think about this, and I thought, well, you know, there's some premise to that. I mean, you know, you cut yourself, your body heals. You know, your body has different functions in it, you know, to destroy infections and things in your body and stuff. And I was just dwelling on that. And then right there, because they were saying that the human body over whatever period of time had got to where it wasn't functioning like it was supposed to. And I'm like, well, I can agree with that, you know, everything that we eat and everything we're taking care of, you know, whatever. And right then the Holy Ghost just spoke to me real quickly and said, that's what's wrong with the Christians, or that's what's wrong with my people, is what he said. That over a period of time, they're not operating the way I intended them to operate in faith so that they could receive everything that they have need of. And I was like, man, I can see that. I can see how you created our bodies. And I'm just using this terminology. Y'all don't hold me to it, okay? Because when I speak off of not in the Word, I could be totally wrong, okay? But our bodies were created to self-heal, okay? So then over here now, we're talking about God had not self. God gave us revelation to bring about the promises of God. You follow what I'm saying? So that the Word could become alive to us and we look at it, okay? But we don't always understand it. And then he said to me that exactly how we perceive our relationship with him is how we walk in his promises. So if we perceive our relationship with him as iffy, well, then we're iffy walking in the promises. Okay? And so he just began to bring some scriptures up to me and just begin to stir me. He said, you know, if the people would grab hold of this word and really understand what I'm saying to them, well, then every promise that I promised them would begin to manifest in their lives. But they have to see the relationship between us, God, and you. You have to see that healthy, whole, rhema, revelation, life to you in order to make everything else work in your life. Amen? So Philippians 1:6 is a scripture that he took me to. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he who's began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You have to understand that, see, we get this idea sometimes that we got saved. We chose Jesus and got saved. But the Bible says God was working a good work in us, that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? That we say, oh, well, look what we did. No. God was calling us. He was bringing us, you know. John 15, where he said, I didn't choose you. I mean, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, right? Okay, you got to understand that God is working in you right now, no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's what you think it should be or whatever, God is still there wanting to work in your life because he has a good plan for your life. Okay, you got to understand that. You got to grab a hold of that revelation. God has a good plan for each and every one of you. You may not be walking in the good plan yet, but he has a good plan for you. He's got a master plan laid out for your life. It's a great plan. It's a God plan. Are y'all with me? So you got to understand I'm at a loss of what to call it. Your first attitude towards your father has to be, he's got good things for me. If with inside of you, there's a thought that comes to you that, well, you know, I messed up over there, so God's going to punish me for this, then you're wrong. You've got the wrong plan. You're looking at the wrong plan. Because God says he has a good plan for you. Are y'all following me here? All that thinking that comes out of religion, okay, what it does is it stifles and stops the manifestation of God's promises in your life. The moment you begin to see, God's got a good plan for my life, the moment you can really believe that in your heart and have a rhema of it, it's a revelation to you. God has a good plan for your life. Yeah, we can miss it because we're free will beings. We can get off. We can get over here, you know, doing something we're not supposed to and miss God's plan. But God, the master architect, has a great plan for your life, okay? So that's one of the things you really need to commit into your heart. Philippians 1 and 6, that God's got a good plan for you. You need to wake up every morning and say, you know, Lord, I don't know what's going on today, but I just know one thing. You've got a good plan for my life. Are y'all with me? Okay? Now, how long has this plan been in effect? Okay? Now go to Jeremiah 1:5. Now, some of the things I want to tell you tonight, they're stretching. Okay? They're stretching. But Jeremiah 1:5 says something here you need to have into your heart. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So then how long has the plan been going on? See, now that just doesn't even, you know, like we have a hard time grabbing hold of that one. Right? But God had a plan for you before you were even born. I formed you in the womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet of the nation. He was already working a plan before you were born. It's not like, oh, wait a minute. I got to get something together for CW's life. I mean, I hadn't really thought this out. I mean, you know, God's not doing that. It was already before you were born. Okay? So just imagine how awesome the plan must be that God, because he's the God that can see the end from the beginning. Hello? He can see the end from the beginning. He sees the good work. Okay. This is so good. I can hardly even tell you anymore. We might as well just go home right now because this is so good. Okay, I'm kind of skipping around here, and I'm kind of, you know, just, I'm preaching off the cuff here. Go to Jude, the book of Jude, and look at the 24th verse. Okay, so he has a plan for you. He knew the plan before you were created, before you were born, right? And he's the God that sees the end from the beginning, so God's already has looked at your life and sees Jude 24. J-U-D-E, Jude, 24, New Testament. right before Revelations. No, it's chapter. There's only one chapter, so it's one chapter. Verse 24. A computer is not smart enough to know there's only one chapter in verse 24. Is it there? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless, what? He's going to what? Present you faultless? Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. See, he's the God that sees the end from the beginning. So he's already seen you presented to him faultless. So when God's looking at you, he's not looking at the mess you're in right now. He's already looking at the end result of you standing before him presented faultless. Think about that. There's no wonder that God can do what Zephaniah 3:17 says, rejoice over you with singing. Because he already knows what you look like at the end. See, we always look at, see, I told y'all last week, I believe it was, that we're bound to time. We do everything and look at everything in time. But God's looking at the end from the beginning, so he's already seeing you presented to him faultless and blameless. And Jesus is the one who presented you with exceeding joy. Hey, Daddy, here he is. Got him here. Wow. Oh, this is good. So he's got a plan for you. He knew it before you were born. And he's seeing the end of the plan before you're even knowing what's happening. He's already seeing the end result of you standing before him faultless and blameless before him. So then, see, we get in our heads, oh, well, you know, I had some impure thoughts, you know, and so I that's going to hinder my walk with God. But God is seeing you. He's wanting to give you based upon what he's already seen you end result. So we're the ones saying, oh, well, God, you probably don't want to do this for me because you know what I've done. And we're looking at shame and guilt. And God's saying, what are you talking about? You made it. You got to the end. You did it. Rejoicing, singing. You're amazing. Oh, my God, you got there. And we're like, well, no, I'm here. I'm stuck in this life, and I don't know what to do. Y'all with me? That's what we're looking at. And God's just saying, no, you're amazing. And we're sitting there saying, well, but I know, you know, I mean, and we're bound in this other realm, the realm of our head, our thinking, our like this. And this is where we're bound. And so we don't see the way he's seeing it. Because what does Isaiah 55 tell us? That God's, our ways are not his ways, right? Right? Our thinking's not his thinking. He's thinking this high thinking of you, but you're thinking low thinking of you. And so therefore the devil knows what's going on, and it's so easy. Come on, how many of us, you know, it's a shame to say this, but I know y'all did it too, so you can't just scoff at me. How when we were kids in school and everybody's marching out to go and thinking, if you got step just right, your step was just right, you could just kick the heel of that person in front of you and they hang their foot and fall down. I know you sweet saints never did anything like that, but I did. I was rotten. I had to get saved. Now come here, Laura. Let's walk here and I'll demonstrate it to you. Now. She knows me. I still do it today if I get a chance. But no, you said you had to get your step going right, and then you get in the right step and chomp. You just had to touch the heel, and then that person's foot would hang right there, and then they'd fall. That's what the devil does to us. He just gets right in step with you. Oh, yeah, I can get into this thinking. I can think like they're thinking. See, he just gets right in there. He said, oh, yeah, they're thinking good. They're all discouraged and depressed and think that nothing's good's going to happen and God can't make it and God can't bring it about and God isn't going to be able to. I'm not going to. He said, they're saying right now God can't supply their needs. How's God going to work this out? So he just gets right in step with you. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, boom, boom. And then, boom, you fall down, and then you're like, oh, God. And he's like, I see you. You made it to the end. I'm rejoicing. You're great. You're awesome. Unbelievable. Presented faultless and blameless before me. And we're like, who are you talking about? Right? So, go to Psalms 139:16. So, Psalms 139:16, it says that his thoughts towards you are precious, right? And not only are his thoughts towards you precious, but they're more than the sand of the sea. All right? They're more than the sand of the sea. There's so many. They're so precious. So just think about this. So now, God is having all of these precious thoughts about you that are more numerous than the sand of the sea. What precious thoughts is he having about you? The end. The faultless and blameless before him. The times that you believed in him in faith and accomplished and were walking in his plan that he had for you. You see, it's mind-boggling to think that God could have more precious thoughts than you. You don't even have that many precious thoughts about yourself. So therefore, again, the enemy comes behind us. He stifles us. He kicks our feet out from under us. He hinders us from being able to go and to do what God wants us to do. Are y'all with me? So then, another scripture, Psalms 138, verse 8. Come on, what does it say? Oh, yeah, now, wait a minute. Now the Lord will perfect all of that which concerns you. Now he is walking right along with you with all these precious thoughts, going to perfect all that concerns you. Folks, you put all this together, that God has a good plan for you, that he has a plan before you were born. He sees the end from the beginning, so he has the ability to see you already presented to him faultless, okay? He sees you, as that Jude 24 says, that faultless and blameless before him, faultless and blameless. How can you get better than faultless and blameless? I mean, is there anything better than faultless and blameless? That means, I mean, all you got to do is keep your mouth shut. Right? You're already faultless and blameless. All you got to do is shut up. Don't incriminate yourself. Plead the fifth and be quiet. Right? So then he's got more thoughts towards you that are precious thoughts in the sands of the sea. Okay? And then he's perfecting everything that concerns you. I mean, another one you can write down, just go in there, look at it, Psalms 40, verse 5 says, his thoughts towards you, they can't even be numbered. Are y'all just following the thinking here? Can you just grab a little bit of the thinking of how God's looking at you? And then can you just stop in a minute and just say, well, how have you judged yourself this day? And the difference between that is about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference of your relationship. If you're thinking like what I'm preaching, then you have a very good relationship with your Father, because why wouldn't I want to hang around my daddy who's going to consider me faultless and blameless? Why wouldn't I want to read his word and ask him to talk to me and tell me he's going to perform all things for me. What do I need to be doing today, Lord? Because, you know, you're in charge. You're driving and we're, you know, I'm just flowing for the ride. So where are we going? But how quickly and how easily we let the devil beat us down and get us off track to thinking in the realms of the negative to where we're not seeing ourselves in that position. Are y'all following me here? And there lies the hindrance to us walking in the promises of God. It's our thinking. So back to my first original story. So if the scientists were going to be able to put a chip in us, it was going to zap a part of our brain and send an electrical impulse to it to tell us to heal ourselves. I mean, this article got kind of crazy. And well, I say crazy. It was crazy to me thinking it because it seemed so bizarre. Actually, like you would go into the doctor's office and they could plug your chip in, see what's going on with you, and direct the chip to send impulses to the part of the brain that needed to whatever part of your body needed healing. That would be how you would be doctored in 10 years. Now, that's bizarre to me. Okay? That's totally bizarre thinking to me. But that I'm faultless and blameless is kind of bizarre thinking to me, too. I mean, I have been chewing since Sunday all over the Zephaniah 3:17 scripture and just figuring out how would God be rejoicing over me with singing. That is just freaky. No one has ever rejoiced over me with singing. I don't know how it even looks. I don't even know how you respond to it. I don't even know the correct emotional response for somebody rejoicing over me with singing. Do you? I don't know what they're going to say. I mean, I would feel kind of weird saying, well, thank you. I mean, what am I going to say? Right? I mean, what do you do? Do you just dance along with the music or do you just stand there and smile? Or I don't know what the emotional response is to somebody rejoicing over me with singing. It's freaky. But that's how far off we are from God and what his thinking is. He says, I want to rejoice over you with singing. And we're like, oh, don't do that. I don't know how. I don't even know how to respond to that, Lord. Don't go there. That makes me really feel strange. I don't know. Lord, how can I possibly function in that, you know? Am I right or am I the only one thinking like that? I mean, just imagine how many people won't even stand up in front of public and speak. Now, can you imagine that you're the center of attention while as God dances around rejoicing and singing over you? How odd that would make you feel? But that's just how far off we are in our thinking. It's a big deal to God. And what I'm saying is we've got to change our thinking. We have to change the way that we're walking with God and how you are viewing your relationship with your Heavenly Father is exactly what's hindering you from walking in the promises of God. Because if you're viewing it in a negative sense, like, okay, there's Daddy. Oh, gosh, Daddy's home. Don't, let's just hope he doesn't call me. You know, we always joke about, you know, backseat Christians. Yeah, and I heard we got a really compliment the other day because somebody came to church for the first time, said that they were so amazed because we have the longest backseat that they've ever seen in a church. I said, well, I never really thought about it like that, but I guess we do. Because we're narrower at the front and wider at the back, and he got back rows everywhere. But you know, the whole principle of being in the back row is so that you may not get exposed. Right? I mean, other reasons could be, but I'm just saying that the normal in a religious church, you don't want to get called out. Okay? So then that goes and shows your relationship with your Father. You just want to slip in the back. You just want to stay in the back, and you just don't want to be seen, and you want to get into the doors of heaven, but you don't really want to, you know, have to go talk to Daddy because he might say something like, I know what you did last night. When the whole time all God is wanting to do, Because he's been having precious thoughts about you all day long that can't even be numbered. He's got this great plan for your life, and he's bringing everything about and perfecting all that's concerning you, and he's bringing it all about. And all he's doing is seeing the end from the beginning, and he's just seeing you being presented to him faultless and blameless before the presence of God with exceeding joy. And so he's just excited to be with you, and we're the ones that are freaking out saying, oh yeah, hi, Dad. Yeah. And there is where it hinders us from the walking in the promises of God, because we don't have a full revelation of this. Because we are works-minded, and we have to do great things in order to think that God is pleased with us. And it would just seem, you know, in our minds we do it. You know, Billy Graham has got to be more loved than you are. And then we get into saying, well, but I know he loves me because he sent Jesus for me and everything. But, you know, I mean, I know. I'm just kind of going to get into heaven and get through the doors and get on the back row and I'll be happy. Right? I mean, am I preaching good? Am I hitting us all square between the eyes? Everything that we do in life has to do with status. And the more you have and the bigger you've gotten and the more stuff you have and all this is about status. But my God, the revelation of God in heaven rejoicing over me with singing is huge, because that's forever. And I would rather be unknown on earth and known in heaven. And the thing is, this is what's amazing. Okay, because we do things by works and by time, we then judge everything based upon what we see. Oh gosh, you know, he's got a really large church. If you're a pastor, you'd be saying, oh man, he's got a really big church. He's really doing a lot of things. Man, that guy's really shaking and moving for Jesus. Wow, look what he's doing over there. And so you start putting yourself into this comparison mode. When the whole time, all God says, I just want you to fulfill the plan I have for you. I just want to fulfill the plan that I have for you. That's it. You're not in competition with anybody else. You're just trying to fulfill the plan for your life. And the plan for your life may coincide with the plan for somebody else's life, but it doesn't make any difference, because you just got to fulfill the plan for your life. Because that's what you're getting graded on, and that's what you're going to go, and you've already finished the end result of it. With exceeding and great joy. It's like they already took the test for you. You already got, you know, the A++. And so you're just walking out the rest of school. Oh, I've already graduated with a 4.0. Huh, great. Okay, I'll just show up tomorrow.
Well, you can't do it like that.
Well, that's what God's system is. Our thoughts aren't his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And since he's God, he can do whatever he wants to. All I got to do is get in agreement with him. And if he wants to put that kind of a grading curve on, hey, not going to see me standing up and saying, no, God, you need to make it harder. You're not going to see me leading the protest down the streets of gold saying, we should have made it harder. Right? I mean, when I started reading my Bible for the very first time, I remember reading scriptures and seeing things that God was saying to me, and I just started laughing one day, and I said, Lord, if these are the rules you want us to live by, then I'm for it. I mean, you're making up the rules here, so if you say I'm saved because I believe in you, well, then I get blessed, God, I'm saved. If you say your blood washes and cleanses me of your sins, well, then I'll take it. I don't want to have to go jump through fiery hoops. Y'all with me? There's a TV show that I catch once in a while that just cracks me up, American Ninja Warrior. Yeah, where they had this competition course, they have to go down, and it just keeps getting harder and harder and more difficult and more difficult. And, you know, they get to the end of it, you know, they're like, you know, you got to be a tremendous athlete to be able to do it. And I just have to laugh because no matter how hard those guys work, they just make a harder course. And so, you know, it's like, you did what? Now we have to go up a 15-foot wall when we were only going up a 14-foot wall. Yeah, they said, hey, well, they did it, so let's just make the next one more difficult. I'm glad God's not like that. I'm glad that I don't get my walk going with him and I get it going to this and, what, we changed the rules? Now I got to go up that mountain? I'm glad he made the rules and all I had to do is just say, if that's the rules, then praise God, I'm just going to believe you by faith and walk in it. Are y'all following me here tonight? Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is in direct correlation with how we're going to receive the promises of God. And if you get hold of these revelations, you get them down in your spirit and they're written on the tables of your heart. And it's a rhema to you, it's a revelation to you, it's everything to you. Well, then you know when you sing the praise songs, they're really praise songs. Because you're just so rejoicing that this is who you are. You're just so rejoicing that God's done this for you. You're just so rejoicing that this is the rules and you just get to walk in them. You're so rejoicing that, wow, Lord, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. There's nobody in the world like you. You are so amazing. And then you know what? As you start to live like that and you start to walk like that, well, then all the promises of God just start to happen, that just start to come about. Then all of a sudden you're getting healed all the time. All of a sudden you've got financial prosperity coming on you all the time. All of a sudden, you know, your joy begins to be the mark of your life, that you have exceeding joy. As long as situations and circumstances in life determine your joy, you're not going to have much joy. But when I wake up in the morning and realize my God has made this set of rules for me and this is what I live by, and that he's already seeing that my end, and he's already rejoicing over me with singing, I want to get that one down. I want to get that one figured out. I don't know how. I'm going to get it. I just been praying for the, okay, Holy Ghost, I want to see this revelation. I want this. I want to understand what it really means to be rejoicing over me with singing. Because that is, I do not have an emotional response for that at this moment. So Holy Ghost, birth it within me. Are y'all with me? Amen? So, Laura, come back up here. Y'all on the praise team, come back up here if you would. And let's do some worship. And then I want to pray for you. If you're in here tonight and you've been, you're sick, and you want to receive that tonight, then I want to pray for you. But let's just worship him. Let's ask God to seal this in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Now, church, reach over to somebody around you. Just grab their hand or... When I was praying just then, I kept hearing over and over again, it's in the plan. It's like if you... bought something, bought a house, bought a car, bought something in the... They give you the book that has all the papers in it. It's in the plan. Like you open it up and it says, oh, I didn't know in this plan that I got total, complete healing and restoration. It's yours. It's in the plan. It's written there. It's already laid out. It's already in the end, the rejoicing, whatever. It's not there. It's in the plan. You open it up and say, oh, so with this I get total and complete healing, restoration, financial prosperity, and a glorious end. What a deal. So grab that person's hand beside you and just start to pray. for them right now to say, Lord, give them all that's in the plan. Lord, just give them all that's in the plan. Right now, Lord, just give them all that's in the plan. Give them all that's in the plan. Now look at them and say, hey, come on, shake a few people and say, you know, there's more in the plan than you're believing for. Come on, say, there's more in the plan than you're believing for. There's more in the plan than you're believing for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. All I can say is if y'all had half as much fun as I did tonight, it was good. Now, I want to tell you something. I encourage you. These scriptures tonight, I hope you wrote them down. If you didn't, as soon as Jake puts it up on the website, start listening, listen to it. Man, I was so impressed today, Jake. A person said, hey, do y'all still send out the CDs of the month? And I said, man, we don't do that. We hadn't done that in a long time ago. But let me show you what you can do. I whipped out my phone. I said, you got a phone, iPhone? I said, well, I have an Android. I said, I don't care what it is. We're all over Android, too. It don't make any difference. Get that app right there, SoundCloud. You can listen to me all the time. They were like, really? This is amazing. It's like, hey, we're high tech around this place, man. We ain't no low tech church. So anyway, glory to God. But get it. I mean, it's this revelation, this rhema that will set you free. When you get it in your heart and you realize that, my gosh, God's got a plan for me. Good plan. He's seeing my end from the beginning. Glory. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Somebody help me over there. Let's take up our offering tonight. Tomorrow night, men's fellowship, 6:30, 7 o'clock, 6:30. Ice cream supper. Women are invited. Ice cream supper. We're having ice cream for supper, right? Ice cream supper. Sure. Here, let me get you a mic. Here you go.
Okay, well, I've been reading on this for the last few days, so anyway, God wants me to share it. Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Through a new seed of revelation, your eyes are going to be opened. Wow. And as never before, you are going to be able to understand who you are in Christ and what belongs to you as a child of God and joint heir with Jesus. You will receive a new revelation of all the things God has prepared for you to partake of during this end time harvest, and you will walk in a new awareness of the authority that you have in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's a good one. That's the Holy Ghost. Come on, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Debbie. Wow. Amen. We'll put your hand on your offering. Lord, I just thank you that you prosper us. We're so rich tonight. We're coming out of here with like our bags filled, Lord, with good word. But I thank you, Lord, that you fill our bags, our vest, our banks, our everything, Lord God, with all the riches so that we have an ample supply to supply to everybody in the world, Lord God, to just be givers. to not be borrowers, but to be lenders, Lord. And we just praise you for it because that's the kind of God you are. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was reading in just reading some of the Old Testament and just going over it. And I was just looking at how whenever God sent David to conquer a nation, that nation was rich. And they plundered it and brought it all home. And then the next nation he conquered was wealthy. Because it always says they had gold chariots and silver everywhere. David just plundered them all, took it home. He's got another one. The amount of wealth that must have been in those days, to just that from what we see wealth as, you know, to just pile up. You know, it said Solomon had silver heaped up in his backyard. I don't know how much y'all think heaped up is, but heaped up's a big pile. A heap is a heap, right? It's not just a little berm. That's a heap. It's big. Heaped up in the backyard. Just imagine, Scott, if you had silver piled up on the ranch like you have caliche. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Huh? Digging it out of the side of the hill up there, just bringing it home. That's what you'd have. That's what he had. I really believe that God wants us that wealthy. I really do believe. Because then we just have whatever anybody needs. Got finances, money, whatever. Oh, you need a million here. No big deal. Huh? And abundance for every good work. Yeah, and it says they're not paved. It's not like a caliche base. It's solid gold. Is that right? Well, praise God. Well, stand to your feet. Grab that person's hand beside you. Look at them and say, man, I'm full. Now, Lord, as we go out of here tonight and go into this world, I just declare where our hearts are changed. Our eyes are open and we behold you and see you for what you really believe about us. So when we go out there in the world, Lord, it just gets off on everybody around us. They say, my gosh, what happened to you last night? I say, man, we got a revelation of the way the King thinks of us. And it'll change them and bless them, Lord. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.